Where are we holding?
We're holding in Masechet Sanhedrin, Tractate of the Holy Sanhedrin, page Kaf Vav Amud Aleph 26a. We're about 3/4 of the way down the page.
Void lines.
My kasher. Shabbat kasher v'shem, kasher v'shem. Ein of them. Ein of them. One of them. Two of them. Kari la rari bakar. My kasher shem. Two lines down in the beginning of the wide line. Two lines down. Let's just recap what we're talking about. We had a very wonderful story at the end of last week about Reish Lakish walking along the road with Rav Chia and Rav Shimon. They happened to be the year of Shviat, and they saw two individuals planting, growing, pruning, doing stuff that you're not allowed to do. Reish Lakish said, "That doesn't look right to me. Something's wrong here." Rav Chia and Rav Shimon said, "No, wait a minute. Don't be so hasty. Maybe there's a good reason." It could be. Could be a good reason. Reish Lakish said at the end of the day, "You know what? Alev yodea. You can make up whatever reason you like, but you have to go by your heart. And if your heart tells you that this is not right, so it's not right, you're free." So, they came to their destination, which they were on the way to calculating the year. Shalom, Rabbi Abraham. So, they went to calculate the year. They got to the place that they were going to. And they decided, you know what, this Reish Lakish guy, he's a bit of a nakat, as you say in Hebrew, a bit of a nudja, a bit of an annoying individual that keeps questioning our rulings. Not our rulings, because it's not halacha, but questioning our interpretation of events. So they took the ladder away, two lines down in the wide lines, on page Kafvav Amud Aleph. And they said, "You know what? You go do your own thing. We're going to go in to calculate by ourselves. We don't think that we'd like you to join us right now. See you later." So off he went back to the study hall to meet his study partner, the holy Tanna, Rav Yochanan, holy Amora, Rav Yochanan. And he said to Rav Yochanan, "What's going on? How is it that people who are suspected of breaking Shviat, meaning they were people who stood up for, who were Sanhedrin of the defenders of those people who were, in his opinion anyway, breaking Shviat. How can they be valid people to judge the question of intercalculating the year? They are a Kesher Rishayim." Reish Lakish's words, "They're Kesher Rishayim." And a Kesher Rishayim cannot form part of the minyan, cannot be counted in the quorum of a Beit Din to decide a halachic matter. So now the Gemara wants to know, where does this term Kesher Rishayim come from? This is what we came to at the end of last week. We started learning the story of Sanherib and Chizkiyahu. So let's go from there. My Kesher Rishayim, what is the Kesher Rishayim? Where does this term come from? So it comes from this story. Shevna havadarish v'tleisa ravata. Shevna lectured 230,000 students. Shevna had 130,000 supporters, and Chizkiyahu havadarish v'chad sar ravata. Hizkiyahu only had 110,000, right? So he was outnumbered. What happened? So when Sanherib came to siege Jerusalem. Kiata Sanherib, the Salab Yushalayim. When Sanherib came and he made a siege around Jerusalem. Katav Shavna Pitka. Shavna wrote a note. Shada Vigila. And he shot it with an arrow. To Sanherib, what did the note say? The note said like this: Shevna Vesiato Hishlimu. Shevna and his supporters want peace. His Kiao Vesiato Lo Hishlimu. His Kiao and his supporters don't want peace. Right? He was doing what's known as rebelling, being a traitor, siding with the enemy. But he was in the majority. We know, we see this in the Pasuk in Tehillim, which says, Kihine arashayim yidulchun keshet konanu chitzam al yeter. Well, behold, the wicked bend the bow, ready their arrow on the string. Right, this is alluding to Shevna and what he did. Wicked person who uses a bow, etc., etc. So what happened? So Habakkuk is to pay Chizkiah. Chizkiyahu got worried. Amar, he said to himself, Dilma chas v'shalom, natya da'atei d'kadosh baruch hu, v'tawuba. Maybe chas v'shalom, what the case is that Hashem is going to follow the majority. Right, like we said last week, that is the rule of how Hashem runs the world, by the majority.
But how do you count the majority if you have a mixture of Arab Rav, Beninim, and Siddiqim?
So we're going to see now, because that's exactly the problem he had. So, Kevan Duruba Mimisrei, Inhu Nami Mimisrei. Since the majority is giving over, is surrendering, I should also surrender as well. I should follow the majority. That's the correct thing to do. Hezekiah doesn't care about his kingship. And he doesn't care, in fact, about Jerusalem. And he doesn't care, in fact, about, what does he care about? Doing Hashem's will. Right? That's the most important thing, because it's his. We're here to do his will, not what we think is the right thing, according to my understanding of politics and world events. Yeah, if it was me, I'd bomb them all and clear them out and do it. Very nice, sounds good, maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, but who cares? The question is, what does he want? I had the greatest svara, the greatest reasoning. Doesn't matter. If it's what Hashem wants, you're free. If it's not what Hashem wants, it's irrelevant. Completely irrelevant. So his kiao here is just trying, he's going by, he considering, is that what Hashem wants from me right now? Something we have to ask ourselves all the time. What does Hashem want from me? And anyone who's asking the question is going to find the answer. Right? And we're going to see here that his cow gets an answer. We also get an answer. Going to do spotted it. Look for messages Hashem's sending me. The person who really wants to know, Hashem tells him. Vanavi Ramalo. So a Navi came and told him. Right? So here, if you're Hezekiahu, so the Navi comes and tells you, you and me, we might not have a Navi, a prophet, that wanders over and says, you know, you were worrying over your cornflakes at breakfast, whether or not. So you should know the answer. But we don't really get that, but we get our own Navi. We get our own Navi. Usually it's your wife. That's Hashem. You married yet, Daniel? No. Not married yet?
No.
No. Okay, so that's Hashem. The Navi in your life will be your wife. Your wife is a conduit from Hashem. What she speaks is min Hashemayim. So,
you have to choose wives.
Still chosen for you.
Wife,
at the end of the day.
The wife is a gift from Hashem.
We always have a job to do in anything, but at the end of the day, after the event, once you're married, you should know that's 100% correct, that's from Shemayim. This is the one Hashem wants me to have, and any problem, I need to work on it.
Because we've seen even the highest priest receives
lashes. He doesn't marry the right person. No, it's halacha.
Halacha, yeah, but you have to follow all the way.
Okay. Can we long, can we short? Person one seeking to get married tomorrow. If he wants, he doesn't want. Yofi. Okay. Another lecture, with a different class on Shalom Bayit.
When's that starting with
it? Currently it's not. Currently my afternoons are now kind of other things. And now,
no Shalom Bayit now.
And now dealing with Shalom Bayit now. And now, So what happened? So the prophet came, the Navi came and told him. What did he say? He said like this. Lo ta'amrun kesher l'kol asher yomar ha'am hazeh kesher. Do not say a kesher to all those people, l'kol asher yomar ha'am, all the people that to all those that the people say are a kesher. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains what it means. Klomar, that's to say, Keshur Rishayim Hu. This is a Keshur Rishayim. The Keshur Rishayim Eino Min HaMinyan. It's a Keshur Rishayim. It's a group of wicked people. And a group of wicked people don't form part of the Purim. You're right, Hizkiyahu, to be concerned that if it was the will of the people to surrender, then maybe you shouldn't go by majority. But here, they don't count, because they're a Keshur Rishayim. And we don't count the Kesher Rishayim in the majority. Therefore, you've got 110,000 supporters, but the 130, they're irrelevant. They don't count.
So if you have a mixture, like my original question.
Yes, but the problem is you don't know. That's your difficulty. You don't know. Here we knew. Here the Shemna supporters all had their red flags, and he had the green flags, and you could tell. But the Arab Rav don't usually carry their Arab Rav badge, because they stop wearing them, right? The little badges. So you can't count, you can't know. But they're not part of Am Yisrael. We're not, Hashem, we're not judged by their majority, thank God. Because otherwise we'd all be in trouble. but we are judged on ourselves. So, questions, comments, answers, okay? No, that's top. That was the answer to that, but we haven't finished the story.
Rashi, anything? Or do you want to wait?
Tom. Lo tovun kesher, al tafshol bedatka, chazkiyahu, shihe minyanahu, ko shoshevna minayin v'chashevro. Yeah, Rashi just explains that the prophet was telling Hizkiyahu, don't think that the supporters of Shevna form a majority to be considered. So, halach lach sovlo kever the kivrei Beit David. He went and he cut out for himself, like to shoot from a rock, a kever, a grave. In the graves of Beit David, of the house of David. Right, that was Shevna. Shevna, at this point, he doesn't know what's happened. Right, but at this point, he's getting himself ready. He's preparing the, like Haman. Right, prepare for that great day when I'm king. Right, Shevna is readying himself. How? By making himself a tomb in the graveyard of King David, right? You also see from here that the wicked people always think they're really righteous. No wicked person, apart from us, they're mamash crazy, fine. But even the crazy ones, they always think that they're 100% right, true. No one goes around thinking that I'm a wicked person and I'll do what I like. No, everyone's got a self-justification. That's how we're built. Either we're 100% no, I'm thinking, I'm making a grave amongst the kivurim of Beit David. Okay, we're like this. Buddies, me and David are going to be walking hand in hand in Gan Eden. I'm doing the right thing. Hezekiah is the one who's in the wrong here. I'm the one who's trying to save Am Yisrael. I'm the one who's trying to save Jerusalem, trying to save the people, stop all the bloodshed, right? You've got wonderful reasoning as far as for why he's doing what he's doing. And Baruch Hashem, Hashem's well behind me. Hashem wants to get rid of his Kiyahu and put me in king, and then everything is going to be good. Right? Lots and lots of wonderful stories. But he's still going to hell, right? But he's got lots and lots of... Because why? Because ultimately, so what's the difference? Because may I say, well, it's not fair. Sounds good, nachon. Maybe he's right. Maybe it's better to save Jerusalem and stop all the bloodshed and not fight and resist, and everyone's going to end up being killed. And right, Sanherib's got this huge army of 500,000 people, and we're like maximum 100,000. And you know, maybe the thing is to surrender here, and that's a sensible thing to do. And Shemna's right. Maybe it's not fair. Shemna's going to go to hell and burn because he thought he was doing the right thing and he got it wrong. Doesn't sound right. So what's the answer? The answer is not just the fact that he was wrong. The answer is the fact that he wasn't doing it L'Shem Shemayim. It wasn't L'Shem Shemayim. He was doing it for his own glory. He wanted to be king. He didn't give him stuff about the people, about what's right. Oh, about what's right. Yosef, wonderful to see you. Right? That wasn't his motivation. What does God want from me here? And that's why, even though he himself might self-justify all his into deep down, it's not coming from a good place.
Wasn't that what
the Nabi
also wanted to be done? That they should surrender to
Sennacherib? No, not in the case of Sennacherib. Sennacherib, Hashem came and wiped them all out.
Wiped
Sennacherib? Yeah, and all his army out. We might be talking about the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash with the Birionim. The Birionim that wanted to fight, and they burned down all the storehouses and blah, blah, blah. But in this case, his Hizkiah was a righteous king. He was like, he could have been Mashiach. He was huge. Right, he only wanted to do what God wanted, which is how we see from this. He was prepared to surrender and give everything up. That's what you want, Hashem. I'm stepping down. Surrender, Yofi, whatever you want. That's right. He only wanted to do what Hashem wanted. And Shevna, so it often looks like the opposite. Right? From the outside, we can't tell. I have to be connected to Hashem to know what actually is going wrong and know what's really me, what's my Yetzirahara, right? That's just full of pride and full of arrogance and wants me to be king, wants me to be God, wants me to be correct. What's really Hashem's will? Am I here to do Hashem's will, or am I here to do my will?
Huh?
He didn't call, the prophet came to him. Right, we just saw the culprit. Hashem sent him a prophet so he didn't make a mistake. Person who wants to do Hashem's will, Yeah. He said, maybe this is what we see his prayers. He's saying here, Hashem, maybe this is what you want. Do you want me to say, how do I know? Right, so ask the question, and Hashem sends him a response. Because he's Hizkiyahu, and they're living in a time of prophecy. So you get a prophet that knocks on the door and say, I've got an answer for you. But we're not living in a time of prophecy, so we get a different response. It's still prophecy nonetheless. It's still Hashem's will sending us messages. Shalom, Rabbi Elazar. Lavalios. Tov. So Shemda, meanwhile, preparing himself for greatness, goes and digs himself a grave, so to speak. Digging his own grave. Yofi, he was digging his own grave, but he wasn't buried there. That's not where he ended up being buried, you can see. Ba'navi ba'amar lo, and Navi came and told him too. What did he say to him? Probably the same Navi. It was Isaiah. Yeah, these are the quotes here from Isaiah. So, probably the one who came also. Yeah, yeah, that's also the quote from that was given to Hizkiyahu. So what did he say to Shebna? Malacha po, what are you doing here? Umilacha po, and who are you to be here? Ki chatzavta lacha po kever, that you cut out for yourself here a grave. What are you doing here? It's not, he wasn't even royalty, right? He was head of the civil service, right? He was head of the admin in the palace. And he's like, Tov, I'll be king. Same with Herod. Herod did the same. Herod wasn't royalty. He married into the daughter of the king. Didn't really marry her. He took her by force. But in order to give himself legitimacy. Tov, it's a recurring theme. Anyway. Hinei Hashem, Matal Talacha, Tal Tela Gaver. Right, this is a continuation of the prophecy that he was giving. Behold, God will cause you to wander the wanderings of a man, of a gever. And then in brackets here, so to speak, Amar Rav Rav says, by the way, you should know, Til Tula de Gavra Kashema de Itata. The wanderings of a gavra, of a man, are more difficult than the wanderings of a woman. Why? It says in the footnote. Why are the wanderings of a man more difficult than the wanderings of a woman?
About the woman.
No, so here he says the wanderings of the man are more difficult because people take pity on a woman. People take pity on a woman and they provide her with food and somewhere to stay and whatever, look after her. The wanderings of a man, they kick him out. Right? So anyway, so he gets cursed that he will before he will have the wanderings of a man. We're going to see what happens to him actually, but anyway, the prophecy not continues. Vo'otcha ata, and you will wrap a wrap, meaning you will be wrapped around. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yossi said in the name of Rabbi Chanina, Malamed, it teaches us sheparcha bo tsarat, that tsarat broke out all over him, leprosy. Broke out all over him because they wrapped themselves with bandages over the. That's what they used to do for leprosy. They would wrap themselves with bandages. How do we know this? So, Ketiv Hacha, it's written over here, Otcha Atoh. Right? It's written in one place, Otcha Atoh. That's what we just read in the prophecy of Isaiah. So, you will wrap. You will surely wrap, you will wrap, you will wrap. Uketiv Hatam, it's written in another place, which is in Vayikra, Ba'al Safam Ya'ateh, and up to his lips, not on his lips, but up to his lips he will wrap, talking about the person who has Tzarat, person with leprosy. So the wrap, you see from the, it's not really a Gezerah Shavah. Gezerah Shavah we only use when we're learning Halakha, when we take the word here, the word there, but it's the same, kilu, the same concept. He's using it as a support. We don't need a support really for a drush. This is just a drush. It's not teaching us any halakha. So we don't need Torah support that the word atah comes to teach us this. But we have it nonetheless. Also here. Continuing the prophecy, Sanof Yitznafecha Senefa. There's a triple lash on there. Sanof yitznafecha tznefa. Hador el eretz rachvat yadayim. He will sanof. Tov, I'm going to read the English because I don't really know the Hebrew here. He will encircle you as a hat, as a wall, to a wide open land. Tov. Apparently this is, I'm going to read the full text, which says like this. He, meaning God, will encircle you, meaning the enemy armies, as a hat, which encircles a person's head, like a surrounding wall, and exile you to a wide open land, and there you will die, and there your glorious chariot will suffer the disgrace you wished upon your master's house. So that's the full, with the explanation of what actually that prophecy was given to him. Tana was taught in a brighter. Hu bikesh kalon beit Adonai. He requested, he asked for a problem, a difficulty to come upon his master's house. The Bicha, therefore, nefach kavodo lekalon. Therefore, his own house was suffered the same. Mida keneged mida. Right? That's always what happens. Rule of creation. If you want good for someone, you get the good back. If you want bad for someone, it comes back and hits you in the face. Primary rule of creation. Person who wants honor, he chases honor, he gets none. Person who doesn't want honor, flees from honor, he gets it. Right? Mida keneged mida. That's backwards, but it's still mida keneged mida. Yofi. Measure for measure. Shalom, Fred. Good morning. Anyway. Ki hava nafik ihu. This is what happened, how it all turned out. Ki hava nafik, when he went out, ata Gabriel, along came Gabriel, the angel Gabriel. Gabriel is the angel that does harsh judgment, Gibor, right? That always comes to two. Gabriel came, achdei l'shada, and shut the gate, ba'apei mishorayata, in the face of his supporters. Right, what happened? Shevna decides, Tom, let's go and leave, right? What happened? So it could have been at this point that Hizkiah was going to surrender, right? That was the option that they were debating, right? There was 130,000 supporters. Surrender, we surrender, we should surrender. And in the other courtyard, there was Hizkiah, no surrender, no surrender, no surrender, right? And it wasn't sure, you can imagine that, like, the party politics going on, which one would win. And Hizkiah was wavering, maybe we should actually surrender. That's what the majority. Then the Navi came and told him, no, you don't count them as part of the minion. Hold strong. So Shevna says, fine, we're leaving. You want to die with the siege? You die. We're out of here. Right? So, however it happened, Hizkiah opened up the gates, or he opened up the gates himself because he was in charge. And he said, guys, let's go join the enemy. Let's go make peace, whatever he said. So he leaves, and Gabriel comes and shuts the gate behind him, so he's there by himself. He's there by himself. He's left the palace, he's left the city walls, and he turns around and, where's 130,000 other people? There's no one there. Right? So what happened? So Shevna, at this point, once a person goes down the path, he's gone, right? Right. Anyone sensible at this point will be like, excuse me, turn him around, you know. But no, I'm the righteous King Shevna that's going to be king, right? So what does he do? He strides off to Sanherib's camp by himself. Because he's cuckoo, right? No, just thinking that he's... Sanherib's going to welcome him with open arms. Why not? Amrule, they say to him when he gets to the camp, Mashirai Taich Heicha. Where are all your followers? Only you. Amar, he says to them, Hadru bi. They backed out on me. He doesn't know that Angel Gabriel came and shut the gate on him. Right? He didn't make a sign saying, right? He just knows that they were meant to be following. And the next thing I know, someone shut the gate. Behind me were 110,000 of my supporters. I guess they probably decided to change their mind. He doesn't know that. He doesn't know it was Gabriel. So he says, they left me. What do you want? I'm here. It's me. I'm God. I'm here. Tom. Anyway. Amule. So they said to him, Imken, if so, Achoche ka machaik Hayachta ban. If so, then you've merely been mocking us. Right? That note that you sent, that you have 110,000 people and they're all behind you, and 130,000, and that they're all coming and we're with you and we're making peace as a joke. They're making fun of us. We were ready to accept you and to make peace and whatever. And it's just one guy. Come on. It's a joke. So what do they do to him? Nagvuhu ba'akavav. They made holes in his ankles. They bore through his heels. V'tala'uhu v'zavnei susehem. And they hung him from the tail of their horses. Not fun. V'ayu v'garerim oto. And they would drag him. Al hakotsim through the thorns. V'al ha'barakanim. And through the thistles. Yofi, that's what's going to happen if you go against Hashem's anointed kings. It's not worth it. Very solid ground. Right? It's not just because he had a different opinion. You're allowed to have different opinions, just not allowed to do it from a place of gaava where you're just have to bend yourself to the true majority, even if it looks like you have a majority. It's not real. Rishayim. Bend yourself to the true majority who is with Hashem. Amar, even though they're apparently in the smaller numbers. Amar Rabbi Elazar.
Any Rashi?
Well, look. Where are your people? She katav talano Shevna v'siato hishlimu. You wrote to us that Shevna and his supporters wanted to make peace. Right, so from the note we saw that you had lots of supporters. You don't know. Chadru B, they did a U-turn on me. Chazru mima shehiv tahinu. They went back on what they promised.
Deuteronomy.
They backed out. They did a U-turn. Oh, sorry, they did a U-turn on me. Huh? U-turn. Is it add that between in Hebrew? Oh,
cool.
U-turn. Yeah.
Parasa.
Huh? Parasa. Parasa. It's parasa is like a parasa. To walk a parasa. No.
Parasa is also the
paras. Well, what's the parasa is a U-turn.
Parasa is like this. The horn.
Parasa?
Parasa, like this.
Pasta.
Yeah. Parasa.
Hey, Reish, Sama, Hey?
Yeah, Avram said to put the horseshoe.
Oh, the horseshoe?
Yeah.
And the Yuta.
In Yiddish, it's called Machtige Yui.
Machtige what?
Machtige Yui.
Machtige Yui?
To do a Yui. Yeah, to do a Yui.
Machtige Yui.
Yiddish always sounds much more fun. Shalom, Rebbe Kiba.
English and Yiddish, they're very similar words.
Some, yeah.
I assume that he wasn't in too good physical shape after that.
He was probably dead, but it doesn't actually say. Okay, anyway, let's finish the end of this. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar said, Shevna Baal Hana Haya. Shevna was a Balana. Was a Balana. He was someone who was in it for his own enjoyment. Pleasure seeker. Right? He's doing it for his own enjoyment. Rashi says over here, Mishkav Zachor. It means it's a euphemism for wanting to be with other men. Let's say that. That's what the it's a euphemism, this word, Balana. Okay.
You mean he was a tegla?
Whatever the other words that are to describe the same thing. Right, that's and that was his issue. Tana'a. Oh, happy. Balhana. So, Tom, person who's only interest, because that's Kilo. That's the that's one of the roots. Not that I'm knowledgeable at all. But that's one of the roots of that particular ta'ava. Is that it's pure pleasure seeking. It has no that's why it exists. Tov. Anyway, Ktiv Hacha, it's written over there regarding Shevna in Isaiah. You go to this sochen. What's a sochen? So sochen here is a treasurer. I don't know what the context of that passage is over there. Ukativ hatam, and it's written in another place. Utehila sochenet, and she shall be for him a sochenet. What's that? That's talking about King David, right? King David, that she would, so to speak, sleep next to him. So that kind of gives us the two possible ways that it was interpreted, meaning just for pleasure or for relations, depending on how you look at that sochenet.
But the Pesukim says about Avishag.
You know, he was never with us, but that's what she was given to him for that purpose.
Like, it was called because
to keep him warm.
Because he violated the kabod of the
king.
Of the clothes. When he cut Shaul.
Which also ties into the story. Because he disgraced Shaul's kingship. And he suffered as a result. Different way. He was very kabod. He could have killed him and he just ripped a little bit of his.
But it was also specific about the clothes. Why did he this section of the clothes?
Neither can I get neither. He got it back.
Okay, but why did he? He want to show Shaul,
yeah,
that he could kill him.
Uh-huh.
And this is his proof that he could kill him and he didn't do it.
Uh-huh.
And what happened after that Shaul was like David was calling him from the other hill and telling calling Shaul.
Yeah.
And Shaul was asking him, oh, it's you, David. It's you, David. Oh, I'm so sorry that I'm chasing you. I'm the sinner. You are
uh-huh.
the. And what happened after? He continued to chase him.
Right. Uh-huh.
Because Shaul is all the tricky. All the mepharshim said that he was suffering from illness, from mental illness.
Oh yeah.
Written in the Malbim.
Okay. It's not quarter past nine, by the way. What is it, 10?
It is.
Huh? Quarter to 10.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, but I just changed it. I just, when I came in,
yeah,
the clock was on an hour slow. But it was working an hour slow. So I fixed it back to be an hour, right? Now it's my fixing it. I put a new battery in last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, anyway. Huh? Job. Anyway,
I need to bring in a cuckoo clock.
Cuckoo? Yeah, we'll cuckoo.
That's going Google.
Tough. Thank you very much. Okay, now. So that's the end of the story, but we're still staying with the some of the things that we said there. Just to elaborate on a couple of the pasukim that we spoke about in that story as follows. V'omer. So we're talking about the pasuk where we said that ki hine harasha'im yidruchun keshet konanu chitzam ayeter. For behold, the wicked bend their bow and they ready their arrow on the string. That's the piece that the Gemara wants to just go back and speak about. V'omer, and it says, Ki hashatot yeherasun sadik ma'pa'am. And it says in Tehillim, after that same pasuk that we just wrote, that we just said, says another pasuk. What does it say? It says the shatot. I'm going to see now, we're going to discuss what exactly this shatot. But let's just call it shatot for the moment. The shatot will be destroyed, or the shatot are destroyed. Sadik ma'pa'al, the righteous one, what has he done? Kilo, if, what's he meant to say? If the shatot are destroyed, what good is there in that? What's the righteous one done if the shatot are destroyed? We're going to see now. So now it has three different opinions about what exactly these shatot are, right? So what are these shatot? So we have three different opinions. Rav Yehuda and Rav Eina. So the first opinion is the name of Rav Yehuda and Rav Eina. Chadama, one says, Ilu Chizkiyahu v'sviyato. If Chizkiyahu and his followers Neheras sin were destroyed, Sadik Mapal, then how would that have been any good? Right? What righteousness is there isn't there? Right? So one verse says, this is talking about, we're still talking about, remember that passage, the first passage came to teach us about Shev, ready to fire the bow. And then the next passage came along and said, Vashatot Neheresin Mazepoel. Right? How does that help? So now we're trying to understand, so what does that second pasuk mean in the light of how we understand the first pasuk? First pasuk is talking about Shemda. So this second pasuk might therefore be, first opinion is, talking about Hizkiyahu. If Hizkiyahu would have been destroyed in this event, what good would that have done? Stop asking rhetorically the question. That's what the pasuk means. Chadamah, but alternatively, the other one says, Ilu Beit HaMikdash Yaharas Sadik Ma'apal. No, maybe we're talking about the Beit HaMikdash. If the Beit HaMikdash would have been destroyed at that time by Sanherib, what good would that have done? Ulama, a third opinion. Ilu Mashvotam Shel Oto Rasha. If the thoughts of that Rasha, meaning Shevna, Einan Nehesot, were not destroyed, were not frustrated, Sadik Ma'apal. What good would the righteous one, in this case meaning Hizkiyahu, not Hashem, have achieved by it? What would be achieved with his righteousness?
So what are the three options of Hashatot? One is Beit HaMikdash?
No, so one is, we're talking about Hizkiyahu being destroyed, one is talking about the Beit HaMikdash being destroyed, and one is talking about Shevna being destroyed. It switches at the end to the other side. So the first two, if that would have happened, how would that have been good? The first two. And if that wouldn't have happened, you have to twist it, how would that have been good?
So one of the options of Hashatot is Hizkiyahu?
Yes.
The kingdom of Hizkiyahu was destroyed, this is Hashatot?
If it would have been, Ilu Haya. If it would have been destroyed.
So...
Well, the question is, we're talking about the same thing.
No, but how?
So why does it matter whether we say we're coming from this side of the thing or we're coming from that side? We're talking about the same thing at the end of the day.
What does it mean the word Shatot? That I not have.
So that's what we're trying to see. We're going to come now. The reason why the Gemara is doing it is it's a little bit of an intellectual exercise, meaning there's no practical significance. We're all actually all talking about the same thing. We don't learn anything different at the end of it. Sach HaKol, conclusion at the end, we're still talking about the same thing. But why make three different possible interpretations, each slightly different or coming from a different angle? So we see now, to see which makes sense linguistically. I'm still checking that against this to make sure. Right, because we're going to see now that two of them appear to have support linguistically, and a third linguistically by the Lashon. The Fiyah Lashon, it makes sense. But the third one doesn't appear to make sense from the Lashon, from the language of the word. How do you manage to get that from that same word? I understand the first two you can fit in. But the third one, where does he get that from? And then the Gemara is going to show, he gets it from here. So that's the reason why we're apparently looking at these interpretations, which normally the Gemara comes to teach us law. Right? It matters. Matters because we need to know whether we're going to fast for 2 days or 3 days. We need where we're going to eat this or eat that, how much shiur, whether we're going to hit him, when we're going to kill him. We're practical speaking, it all matters, this opinion or that opinion. But here, apparently it doesn't really matter whether the pasuk was talking about him, he was talking about Yofi, very nice, he was talking about him, very amazing. What's the Gemara has a phrase often used, what's a nafka mina? What's the practical importance? It's very nice. It's a nice argument. But if there's no nafka mina, the Gemara wants to know, well, what's it doing here? Don't tell me something that has no nafka mina. It has no... It's very nice. It's a drosh. It's wonderful. You can tell it at your Shabbos table. And it sounds great. But if there's no practical for how you serve Hashem, it shouldn't be on the page. This is a book of law. It's not a book of... Right? So here, we're learning it out because it's teaching us about how to understand interpretation. How to understand the words. Right, so we're going to see now why.
It's also written in Tehillim.
Which? This is from Tehillim. Shatot. Yeah, this is the... These two pasukim are from Tehillim.
probably in Tehillim there is the Perush Be'um. What it means, like it's.
Yeah, but where did he get the Perush from? He got the Perush from here. Perush came after this.
The Perush on Tehillim.
Yeah, like all the Perush in the written now. Afronim, so, from here. Rashi's Perush himself takes it from the Gemara.
But also the context of the Tehillim. David HaMelech have different subjects, different topics that we speak on Tehillim. So it's what his mizmor, what is related to, we can maybe find what is the more logical perush from the three. Because here he speak about that he changes.
Here we've got three perushim from three Tanayim, Amorayim, right? So they're all correct. Meaning we're not here, their job is not to pick one. I mean, there's no halachic, the Gemara doesn't even try and pick one and say one time, because there's no halachic difference. We're not going to toss up like Ullah, not like him, because there's no difference. When it's just a perush on an interpretation that has no practical difference, then there's no need to follow one opinion. We're not going to say one's right and the others don't follow him. We don't need to. If it came down to a halachic difference, so we would have to decide which one to follow. Based on whatever, based on context, based on top. Now, the Gemara says, out of these three different opinions, right, which were Hizkiyahu, Beit HaMikdash, and Shevna, for the word Shatot, Bishlama is good, Lamadama Ilu Machshavotav Shel Otor Rasha. The last one we heard, the Machshavot Shel Otor Rasha, the thoughts of that wicked person, Shevna, being destroyed, being frustrated, that's a good perush. That will make sense. Why? Because I can show you that the word shatot is likely to mean that. I don't know what the word shatot means in this pasuk, and that's why I can suggest different opinions of what it actually means. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to show you where that word shatot appears elsewhere, and over there we've got a context that we can now see that it fits. Hainu dichtiv, because it's written in, where's it written? Yoma, no, it's not in Yoma, where's that one? Dichtiv. Where's that written? Ki hashtot yehei sayrun.
Yarsun.
And no, he's talking about in Tehillim. Why, he's taking the pasuk itself. Because it's written in the pasuk in Tehillim itself, ki hashtot yehei rasun, for the shatot will be destroyed. And here, no, so here the explanation is, now he brings in the footnote something else. Footnote, he brings shmot for the word shat, meaning to set his heart, set his thoughts. In the art scroll it says designs. Top, it's not crucial for us to really understand it, because it's not... It's just use of the lashon, the language. Ulamanda amar Beit HaMikdash. Also, the one who said Beit HaMikdash Nami did stand, because it said in a Mishnah, Even Hayta Sham. There was a stone over there in the Beit HaMikdash, right? Before the Beit HaMikdash. Right? Hayta Sham, that was over there. Mimot Naviim, from the days of the prophets, Harishonim, the early prophets, right? From the beginning of the world. Ushtia Ushasia Hayta Nikrat, and Ukul Shasia. Even Shasia. Right, the foundation stone from which the world was created. It's called Evin Shatia. Therefore, the foundation stone on which the temple stands. So we can see that the Shatia, the Shatot, has a linguistic... Right. So the one who said it means the Beit HaMikdash, he has something to rely on. Because we can see Evin Shatia, Beit HaMikdash. So Shatot will be destroyed. Talking about the Beit HaMikdash. And Lamanda Amar Chizkiyahu, the one who said the opinion that his Kiyahu and his supporters, they were the ones who would be destroyed, and that's what the passage was talking about. Where do you find a righteous person like his Kiyahu that's called Shatot? Right? Where you got a source of that? Answer. Gemara answers. This is what we needed the Gemara for, to tell us this bit, because you wouldn't have known. Because it says, Ki Lashem Mutsukei Eretz. V'yashet aleihem tether. For Hashem is the pillars of the world.
What?
And the pillars, the amudim of the earth. Matsukei, apparently that means pillars. And upon them he founded V'yashet. He founded the world. Right? If he founded the world, so how did that give us Tzaddik? We didn't say here, but we know that Tzaddik Yesod Olam. Right? Tzaddik is Yesod Olam. He doesn't put that in brackets. It would be very nice to put it in here. And we know Tzaddik Yesod Olam. So the Tzaddik is the foundation of the world. Here, also, top. Vayeshet, top, aleihem tether. Ve'i bayatemo, alternatively, you can say from here, mehacha, from here. Hifla eitza higdil tushia. He has shown great wonders, a wonderful wisdom. From the word tushia, meaning wisdom. And I guess wisdom is associated with the tzaddik.
Tushia is wisdom?
Tushia here means wisdom. The Gemara after, we're going to stop here maybe anyway, but the Gemara is now going to go on to see why is tushia called wisdom. That's his next question. Right, we're going to go on from a link to a link to a link. We're going to look at the word tushia. And then after we look at the word tushia, we're actually going to get back to our Mishnah, which talks about dice players. But before we get there, we're going to have... maybe we'll just do that now. We've got 5 minutes. So well, that's a good place to stop when we get back to the Mishnah. So let's just look at the word tushia. And then we'll be finished with the Agadah. And we'll be back to our Mishnah. So, Amar Rav Hanan. Rabbi Hanan said... Oh, it's not here, it's gone. Rabbi Hanan said... Lama nikra shma tushia. Why is it called tushia? Mifnei shehi mateshet kocho shel adam. Because it mateshet, it weakens. The Torah, meaning wisdom, is called tushia because it weakens the strength of a person. Right? We know that from the famous story of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish jumped across the mountains and he jumped into the river to capture what he thought was a beauty and turns out to be Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan says, you think I'm beautiful? You wait till you see my sister. Right? And if you make teshuvah, I'll give you my sister in marriage. Reish Lakish thought about it. He said, you know what? Why not? Let's go for it. And he decided to make teshuvah. Now, without even doing anything else, without learning one word of Torah or one word of halakha, just making that decision to make teshuvah, he became too weak, he couldn't jump out of the river, he couldn't get out of the river. Although he'd bounded across the mountains to get in, he was now too weak to get out. We see and the Torah says over there, the yoke of Torah is what made him weak. It weakens a person, for good reason.
Probably.
We need to, right, what's the opposite of taking on the yoke of Torah? Kochi be'otzem yadi. Right, kochi be'otzem yadi. We don't want the kochi yotzen yadi. The Torah comes to weaken that. Right? It's not you. It's me, Hashem says. Put your strength away. It's very nice. It's not coming from Hashem. It's meaningless. You can have strength. You can be, right? You can be, what's his name? Shimshon. Right? You can be Shimshon. Right? If you're with Hashem. You can be hugely strong. David HaMelech. He tore up lion with the bones of an ass or whatever. So, whatever it was, right, it could be huge. But if your hands come from Yaakov, right, yeah, with his little finger, right? So you can be, but it has to, right? And but mostly, the rest of us are not yet at those levels, right? Still working on our abs and our biceps, right? It's kochi v'atzim yadi. So the tool weakens us for a good reason. Alternatively, we can say tushia has the meaning of wisdom. Why? Tushia shenitna b'chashai mifnei chasatan. Torah is called tushia because it was given in secret on account of the satan. What does that mean? It means that when we received Torah on Har Sinai, it was given in secret. Torah was given out in the midbar, away from everyone else. It was, so to speak, hidden, right? We had to travel into the desert in order to get it in secret, Because why? Because the Satan, what's the Satan? Satan's not a guy with a pitchfork and a little horns coming out of his head, right? That somehow is against God, right? That's unfortunately a very bad characterization and completely false. Right? Satan is the creation of Hashem. Hashem created everything, including the Yetzer Hara, right? Including why? Because there needs to be balance in the world, right? We need to have free choice to be good and evil, right? Hashem's statutes are, Hashem has to be fair. You can only have fair if you've got two sides of an argument. Satan comes to oppose the attribute of chesed, of kindness, of Hashem, right? And say, wait a minute, let's just check, is this right? This isn't fair, this has got to be, right? You've got to be straight, you've got to be true, right? So Hashem has built in his own system of those who are for the argument and those who are against. That's Satan's job, and he does it too well, unfortunately, is to oppose. Why? Because Hashem created it that way. But some things are so big that the Satan says, that's not fair. You're not playing fair, Hashem. You can't give these people the Torah. They don't deserve it. Right? So that's not right. He'll object to it. And therefore, it has to be done in secret. Right? We see that, for example, right? It's not a secret. It is. It's not a secret, but it is a secret. That the founding of the State of Israel came about in secret. Right? It had to be done through chilonim, through secular people. Can't found a holy, righteous state. Satan won't allow it. So you form, don't worry, you tell the Satan, don't worry, they're not even religious. In fact, the guys who are forming the State of Israel, they hate religion, and they're going to stamp it out. They're going to try and kill it off completely. Oh, okay, fine, yeah, go ahead. Right? And then it gets, so to speak, it gets through under the nose, and then slowly, slowly, right? That's how these things always happen. And we see in every place, King David, a soul like King David, had to come through all the problems he came through. Suspected of being a mamzer, thrown out with the lions, right? With the wolves or whatever. Always, right, the holy things have to come through difficult processes, which is why you and me were here, or certainly me, places I came from, right? So, through different, right?
From Melech HaMashiach, coming from this not the best background.
Right, it's going to come
through. It's coming that he was the Yerach from Moab. All the stories that happened with David.
Call out with Tamar and Lot, Tamar and right? Before that with Yehuda and Tamar, and, right?
It has to be hidden purposely
in order to allow, because there has to be balance, right? There has to be, to get your top, we're going to allow it, but he's got to get through a lot to get there. And then it's going to be fair. If you just like plonk him down and say, there's the Saviour, there's the Mashiach, there's, you know, Hashem says, you know what, I'm going to create the most righteous individual in the world, and he's going to have an easy ride, and it's going to be great. Where's the balance? It has to come through difficulty. Yofi, let's just finish this up to the Mishnah, I think. Tov, let's say it quickly. Dvar Acher. Tushia Dvarim Shel Tov She'olam Meshutat Aleihem. Tushia is... Tushia is... Devarim shel tohu. Tushia is words shel tohu she'olam shutat aleihem, which are of tohu, right? That the world was founded upon them. Tohu. What's the explanation here? Tushia comes the word tohu. Tov.
Ravan says a very
total,
or a state of being before anything was created from it.
Right, so that's why, Yechor. And because it was Tohu was created before, we see that the Torah was also created before the beginning of the world, just like Torah was created before the beginning of the world, also Torah was, and that's why we understand from the word Torah that it's referring to Torah. Torah, I think we should stop there because there's a few lines left, but I don't want to go too much into the next lesson.
So we can cover Rashi tomorrow.
Probably that internet was happening with.